Good afternoon to you, and what's on your mind? This is John Stevens with Mike Line from now until 3. And we'll have an open line today. Take just about anything that you would like to talk about. Just about anything. Politics. This is the season for politics, open season for politics and politicians. We have some interesting news on the low-tar cigarettes, apparently, that they improve smokers' chances of not getting lung cancer. I don't know, that's kind of a negative thing, isn't it? We have an automobile strike. Ford is on strike right now. Well, you name it, and we'll talk about it, within reason. Okay, 527-4188, Enterprise 9842, the number for New Britain and Southington. If you're unfamiliar with the function of the Enterprise line, number one, it's free, whereas normally it would be a toll call. In order to use it from New Britain or Southington, call the operator and request Enterprise 9842. Don't try to dial it. If you are one of the dialers, however, it's 527-4188.
TIC's at the Big E. Your visit to our TIC Big E broadcast studio could net you a swift gift. This is Dick Bertel. During our show, 10 till 2 each weekday, this week and next, we'll be giving away, when you least expect it, sudden surprises, AM-FM radios. We won't tell you when we'll be doing the giving away, but if you're at our WTIC Big E broadcast studio at the right time, you could walk away with a super AM-FM portable radio. Stop by at the Big E's Connecticut building in West Springfield. That's where we'll be this week and next, 10 till 2 weekdays. It's happening on the Dick Bertel Show, on Lou Palmer's Afternoon Edition, 3 till 7, and from 10 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday Showcase, this week and next, with TIC at the Big E.
A swift gift, eh, Richard? Is that a bird? We're giving away a very fast bird or something. No, there are some interesting gifts, so stop by the TIC studio at the Big E. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Hi, John. I didn't expect to be the first one. I don't usually like to be first in this case.
The first shall be last and the last first.
Oh, well, all right. The thing is, I hear on the radio about the fires, and some are of suspicious origin all over the place, not only around here. But today there were two or three in Springfield. Yesterday there were two around here, New Haven, Bridgeport, everywhere, all over the country. And these fires are started by young people, possibly, or, well, maybe arsonists, whatever the word is for it, I can't think right now. They are just destroying property for the sake of doing something mischievous. Usually they're high on drugs or alcohol. It's a terrible thing. We're lucky that more people don't get killed in these fires and things. I think once they find out, after the investigation, they find out who's done it, they ought to put these people away for, not just for a few years, but maybe even have them a death penalty for it. I'm not in favor of death penalty, but in cases like this, when their minds are so warped, and they're not going to rehabilitate. Like this Speck thing that we heard on the news today, he was up for parole today. The man is never going to be any good. They're going to let him live in prison, support him, and he's never going to be different than he is. There's something wrong with him mentally. You keep a mental person, put him in a mental institution, not in a prison. They're not going to cure him, and I don't know, it just upsets me to hear all these things that are going on.
Yes, you mentioned arson or fires, quote unquote, of suspicious origin. I suppose that, pardon me, I suppose that there is a variety of motives for that kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly, landlord might want to get collect the insurance on that piece of property that's probably worthless at this point, where they're empty buildings. These buildings should be, these people that are on welfare, if they're able to stand on their feet, hold a paintbrush or a hammer or a saw, they should be put to work remodeling these buildings and have them fit to live in again. But I don't know.
Well, certainly any number of buildings can be made habitable, which are borderline right now. But so far as the motives for arson, I suppose that They are many. One you mentioned, the possibility of an insurance collection.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there are fires that have been started by someone trying to get revenge on a landlord or someone else. But the problem is that
people like that.
In an inhabited building, a lot of people are in danger.
I lived in a building, well, it's about 14 years ago. It was a lovely building. And then it deteriorated. The neighborhood changed. And the landlord couldn't keep up with the repairs. And as soon as he'd do repairs, they'd wreck it, ruin it, pull the wires, the plumbing out of the wall, and break the walls. And he's tired of doing it, and so now he's just sitting there paying the taxes. He isn't even collecting rents. I'm sure he'd like to get rid of that building. It's 24 apartments, and it's a mess. They tell me you wouldn't recognize the place. And only 14 or 15 years ago, it was beautiful. But there goes the neighborhood. And not all people want to live that way. And I think you ought to put those people on welfare to work, doing something, anything.
Well, you've certainly given us a variety of subjects for the afternoon.
Yes, sir. Have fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
527-4188, Enterprise 9842. The number's for Mike Line. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was listening to the news about that spec who was looking for parole today. I think that is some nerve. He knew what he was doing. He was killing those poor defenseless girls. And I think he should be executed, not have the people paying for him in penitentiaries or insane asylums or anywhere else.
Well, of course, sentence has already been passed, and that some time ago, and presumably he was applying for parole under the terms of his sentencing.
Yes. Well, I don't... It would be a very poor affair if he got out into the world again.
Okay, well, for the record, parole has been denied, as you heard on NBC
Good.
News, right?
I'm very happy about that.
Okay, thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
Righto.
Bye.
At McDonald's, we do it all for you. You're the one.
Here it is the weekend.
You'd like to treat somebody.
I don't mind telling you, I am exhausted.
Well, you worked hard.
You bet.
Do something fun.
I'm going to take you to breakfast today.
It doesn't cost a lot of money.
Get up.
No.
Walk to the kitchen, open the door, into the car. We're going to McDonald's for breakfast.
At McDonald's, our hotcakes and sausage, scrambled eggs and sausage, and Egg McMuffin are delicious. Very inexpensive. The kids will have a terrific time, and Mom doesn't have to cook.
Nobody's cooking, nobody's cleaning up.
Must admit, I got a little hysterical.
I'm a swimming instructor, and I want to say that McDonald's is a wife saver. It's Willy Twoo.
So start your day, or we can wait, because you deserve a breakfast today.
You got it.
At McDonald's.
Can be a nice guy sometimes.
On Saturdays.
We do it all for you.
Quantity, quality, and low price. I think that's the three R's if there were an R in any of those words.
We do it all for you.
14 after 2 the time. This is Mike Line with an open line today at 527-4188, Enterprise 9842. By the way, in the event that you didn't see the headlines on the sports section of today's Current, the Titanics were not in the headlines. We played last night. And I want you to know, one and all, that we kept our record intact. Yes, our season record, perfect record. We didn't win last night either, despite the fact that we had a couple of ringers in the lineup. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, John.
Hello.
I thought I'd call you early because I can't get you later.
Okay.
I just heard the comment by one of your listeners about the man who was not allowed parole after... the trial for the murder of these eight young women. And she said she was, quote, happy about it, unquote. I have read into this sort of psychology for some little time now, and we are told that these tendencies toward abnormal behavior can be discovered in children in grade school. Do you know about that?
In a general way, yes. I certainly don't want to profess...
The most obvious cases could be dealt with. The man certainly, if he killed eight women, was not normal. We could say that, couldn't we?
I think so.
And I think I'm always brought back to Attica and what happened there, too, but it is not related to this. I just wanted to make that comment. I'm not happy about... of the fact that this man will be confined forever. Of course, the thought of what he did is blood-curdling. But I think it's a rather superficial attitude to take, to be happy about anybody's incarceration, no matter. I mean, killing goes on right today in Korea, in other places that we're not even told about. Meanwhile, my own thought has to do with a book I'm reading now by our good friend. Let me open it up. When you get on the air with important people, you get a little nervous, all right? His name is Ramsey Clark. Of course, he ran in the election yesterday and failed to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know Ramsey Clark or any of his philosophy?
Here again, I wouldn't profess to be conversant with it. I realize that he is, I guess, classifiable as a liberal Democrat.
Yes, I think you're right there, too. I mean, he is so literate. He is so thoughtful. And I wrote him a note in order to get some papers that he had written, and he told people if they wrote, he would send them to him. But his thinking is to me, so clear and so right. But he is talking about, the title of this book is Crime in America. And I have marked it, even though it's not my book, I've marked it in pencil because we expect to discuss it. But this one line, if I may read it, I think is interesting. Illicit gains from white-collar crime far exceed those of all other crime combined. Crime as practiced among the poor is more dangerous and less profitable. So he is saying, too, elsewhere in the book, that young people are forced into crime through need. I mean, this is almost a platitude, isn't it? But Mr. Clark examines this throughout his book. I wish it would get a great deal of currency because it's so logical, and you know, it should engage people to, and to give them a broader and more compassionate opinion of these people who ruin their lives, the lives of their families, and certainly obliterate the lives of others.
If I may go back to an earlier comment of yours, you commented on the previous caller who said that she was happy that Speck would remain in prison. If I may presume to interpret what the lady was saying, perhaps she was simply expressing some sense of relief that a person with this capacity would be incarcerated rather than at large.
I think that is so long as we're using the word compassionate, I think that is a very kind and compassionate interpretation of it. It rather made me a little unhappy, and that word is less strong than I'd like to make it.
I did say the woman was happy in the same way that I would be happy knowing that a vicious dog was on a good stout chain.
I know what you mean. You take others out of danger.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dangerous person, of course, I suppose. And still, you know, not to get back on my soapbox, but there is so much reform still in this country. Like Attica, probably, have you been reading Tom Wicker on the subject of Attica? You know who Tom Wicker is.
Yes, though I haven't read anything by Tom Wicker in some time. That
Tom
is a
Wicker,
book I would like to read.
Every Sunday, I think, in the New York Times.
Okay. Well, I think that you have probably jogged some persons to call because we have a row of lights lit up here.
Of course you do. I'll be interested in the comments of the others.
Okay, thank you for your call.
You're very welcome.
Bye now.
Ellie Perrault talked to us about food shopping for her young family.
Ellie, how do you shop? Do you shop different stores?
No, I do not go to different stores. I really don't. I shop for value, I shop for price, and that's why I shop this store. If it's just a penny or two on an item, I don't see any sense in running a couple of miles out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
They all eventually run the same specials. I know I'm saving money by shopping the specials at my store, and they give the green stamps.
When the store started giving S&H green stamps, do you think they raised their prices?
No, they did not. We were in there on a Saturday, and they were going to start giving green stamps. And so I went up and I asked the manager, what is going to go up to pay for your stamps? And he said nothing. He said that was the condition that we brought stamps into the store, that nothing would go up.
Have you actually compared and checked?
Yes, I have. They still run very good specials. Yeah, my grocery bill has not changed.
Then what are the S&H green stamps?
An extra bonus. Fantastic.
Shop at the fine merchants in the Hartford area who give S&H green stamps.
It's 20 after 2. This is Mike Lyon on WTIC in Hartford with an open line this afternoon. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Pretty well, thank you.
First, may I say, I think that Leonard Petrucelli's editorials are so true to life and so wonderful to listen to. So the Titanic lost.
Well,
I'd
rather say we didn't win. I'd rather say simply that we didn't win.
Well, I said if they lost, well, like the Red Sox, wait until next year.
Oh, yes, wait till next year.
Look, did Arthur Nelson Jr. ever, was he on radio in Waterbury?
I don't know.
Oh, and another thing, wasn't Ted Knight, wasn't he born in Terrible, Connecticut?
I thought Tarrington, but perhaps you're right.
Oh.
He was in the studio here not too long ago with Dick Britell.
Oh, how wonderful.
And in fact, he was here to celebrate something or other. Maybe it was Ted Knight Day in his hometown, and I can't remember if it's Terryville or Tarrington.
Oh.
Terryville?
One thing I want to say, the people who are hoping to see Arthur Fiedler in Springfield, is it? West Springfield?
Yes.
Oh, he is just marvelous. We saw him at Saratoga with Dick Rogers. It was fantastic. And, well, anyway, I love the Boston Pops. I always watch him on a different channel anyway.
You can also hear it on WTIC-FM on Saturday nights.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, good. That's a good thing to know. Okay, then.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
Bye now.
Bye now.
527-4188, Enterprise 9842 from Southington or New Britain for WTIC's Open Line. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, about a week ago, there was a case of where they apprehended a couple of gypsies that had been assaulting local citizens and robbing them. And the judge dispensed of a type of justice I fail to see how he could arrive at. He let these people go with a reprimand, more or less, that they leave the state of Connecticut. And he did this even knowingly that they had been arrested six times before. I wonder why the paper reported this and did not give the name of this judge and you know, the type of justice he dispenses. I mean, more or less, he's trying to say that it's all right for these people to go out of state and rob somebody else.
All right.
Could have been put away by right.
Do you recall on what specific charge they were arrested here?
Yeah, they had gone into somebody's house, and somebody, after numerous, robberies, someone had spotted them, and I guess summoned the police, and they came out and they apprehended them. And then they put these people before people who had been robbed, and they more or less identified them. And then even knowing all this, they paid a fine and made some type of restitution, and then they were set free. And I'd like to know on what basis, and why didn't they tell us who this judge is?
Okay, an interesting question, sir. I certainly recall the incident, but not the specifics as to the...
I mean, it looks awful funny there for someone to come into a court and having a previous record, and then this man lets them go and says, all right, leave the state of Connecticut, please. You know, don't rob Connecticut citizens, but go over to New York and Massachusetts and rob those poor devils, you know. And most of these people that were accosted were elderly people, you know. It's pretty hard to defend themselves.
Indeed. Okay, sir, maybe somebody can fill in some of the blanks for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For over a year now, Hartford men have enjoyed the unique pleasure of shopping at Lutkins Limited. Unique because for each man there's a separate and totally self-sufficient world waiting for him. The classic man will find more pinstripes and plaids than he ever dreamed existed, all by the most respected names in fashion. To go with them, Oxford button-downs or straight collars in stripes and solids, ties, shoes, everything, all in one convenient place. In fact, at Lutkins we offer a wider selection of men's fashions in our traditional shop alone than anyone else offers in their entire store. But Lutkins isn't just for the traditionalist. The contemporary man has his own world here, too, where he can put together a look that's all his from head to toe, without going from floor to floor or store to store. Lutkins Limited, in the Civic Center shops, truly the only sensible way for a man to get dressed.
25 after 2 o'clock. I was going to say 25 after 5. It's 25 after 2. And Mike Line has an open line this afternoon. You can get on at 527-4188, or if you're calling from Southington or New Britain, the number is Enterprise 9842. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Could you tell me when the Fort Town Fair is, please?
The, again, please?
Four Town Fair.
Four Town Fair.
Yes.
That I don't know. If you do not hear on Mike Line before the afternoon is up, I think that information is available at the Hartford Public Library.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All righty, thank you.
Thanks for your call. 527-4188, Enterprise 9842 for an open line this afternoon. Gosh, we've been all over the spectrum of subjects and questions and whatnot. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Oh, I'm on the air?
Yes, indeed you are.
Oh, well, this lady that just called in about this man in Chicago that killed these eight nurses, and she felt so sorry for him, and she was reading all those books. If that was one of her family, how would she like it? There, I don't believe in capital punishment. I haven't, but I certainly do now. There are too many people that are let out and do terrible things again.
Okay, I don't think that the lady was necessarily defending Richard Speck.
Well, she implied that he was born with it. Well, whatever it is, he wasn't completely normal. But why have people like that around?
I think the point she was making is that someone with such proclivities can indeed be detected at an early age.
Well, what is she a scientist? Then why doesn't she do something about it?
No, she,
if she thinks, is she a teacher?
No, she simply indicated that she has read somewhat in psychology.
Oh, it's very difficult with some children, very difficult. But if you can detect it in an early age, what are you going to do with a child if he has the tendencies to kill and murder? Supposing you can detect it, what are you going to do?
Possibly those things are correctable.
Well,
I don't know.
I like to do with the brain. I mean, you can change the brain and the thinking in the person. People can be brilliant, but do terrible, horrible things. And they probably don't remember that they do them. People that, now these two men in New Britain that killed these six innocent people. And they
one has been convicted, the other is going to trial.
Yeah, but they wanted, he said he's not getting a fair trial in New Britain. Now, what fairness did he give to the innocent people that were in the bake shop that he killed? And I happen to know a couple that the husband and wife, I know the sister of the husband and wife, went in to buy a half a dozen donuts. Now, those men came in to rob. They were not abnormal. I mean, people want people like that to walk on the street. I'm scared stiff to go out on the street even in the daytime. I think it's horrible. And she's talking about when he's young, that when you're a child, you can detect it. Well, how many parents can take their children to these psychological places to have them tested? And particularly today, sir, how many can do it?
I don't know if that is a necessary inference from what she said.
Well, how else can you detect
possibly this possibly is a screening that can take place in the through the public school system. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm merely trying to put the most charitable construction on that which the lady said.
No,
okay?
No. The teachers have their hands full as it is. I have two nieces that are teachers. Teachers cannot detect this.
I'm not suggesting that, ma'am. Oh. I'm suggesting possibly a testing program administered through the public school system could conceivably detect these things. I don't know. I'm merely speculating aloud.
I know what you mean, sir. But with all the trouble they're having in the schools now, the kids are not learning anything anyway with the closing and the strikes and everything else. But that woman really annoyed me with her reading of her book, and she was nervous. Well, she should be nervous. I mean,
I think you're being unduly harsh with her, ma'am.
No, well, I'll tell you, I know that I haven't. I am not a violent person. I hate violence. I never believed in capital punishment. But there are so many things going on now that I'm afraid they should have to bring it back.
Okay, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
This is Mike Line on WTIC in Hartford.
WTIC News, Alan Segal reporting. It's been decided how to handle the $35 million budget surplus.
that the state of Connecticut wound up with for the past fiscal year. State Treasurer Henry Parker says the state will use most of the money to pay off part of a $71 million deficit from the prior fiscal year. He says Connecticut will have about $35 million more for services and projects during the upcoming fiscal year because of the surplus. The Democratic candidate for the Senate in Connecticut has admitted she's fighting hard to keep the State Labor Council from endorsing her opponent, incumbent Republican Lowell Weicker. Gloria Schaefer today said while she'd like the council's endorsement, she hopes the group won't back anybody. Mrs. Schaefer says she has the support of about 40 union leaders. The Connecticut Public Expenditure Council, a private research group, says most of the cities and towns in the state increased their taxes for the fiscal year 1976-77. The CPEC says 130 of the state's 169 towns boosted taxes from between 5.2% to over 30%. Federal investigators probing a New Canaan commuter train crash 2 months ago held a hearing in New Haven today. The engineer of the train that ran the other one, Brian Egan, testified his emergency brakes failed at the time of the mishap and his train was traveling between 15 and 18 miles an hour. In an earlier hearing, one expert said the train was going about 30 miles an hour. Two people died in the accident. Springfield, Massachusetts police are investigating the death of 29-year-old Arthur Warren of Springfield. His body was found at the bottom of a hotel elevator shaft submerged in water. Police say it appears the death was accidental, but are continuing their probe. A medical examiner says Warren died of a fractured skull and neck. Now the forecast.
The Traveler's Weather Service forecast for Connecticut and Western Massachusetts. Mostly cloudy this afternoon, just a little dim sunshine. High temperatures 80 to 85. Cloudy tonight, a chance of some rain arriving late tonight or early tomorrow. Rain likely during the day tomorrow, and it could become heavy at times. Lows tonight in the 60s, highs tomorrow in the low 70s. On Long Island Sound, south to southwest winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour this afternoon and tonight, becoming easterly tomorrow. Visibility fair to good in some haze. And in Hartford now, it's 83 degrees.
And that's WTIC News. Alan Sagal reporting. Next news at 3 o'clock. Bulletins at once.
Here's a special cheese and cracker offer that goes together like, well, cheese and crackers. Get a refund coupon good for 50 cents off your favorite cheese for buying Sunshine, Hi-Ho, and Crispy crackers. Look for full details in the cheese and cracker advertisement in your paper and at special dairy case and cracker department displays in participating stores. A refund coupon good for 50 cents off the cheese for buying the crackers. That's an offer. American Dairy Association. Offer expires December 31st, 1976.
We always move along, a family of the age. In our book of life, we're turning every page.
It's tuna fish now, and after my art lesson, I'll eat something.
Catch-as-catch-can meals seem to fit every stage.
I promise.
Do I take them for granted? No, I rely on that old reliable. Don't forget milk.
I won't, Mom. I know it's good for me.
Milk is a natural for the active life we're leading. Milk is a natural.
26 before 3, Mike Line with an open line this afternoon, 527-4188, Enterprise 9842, the phone numbers. Hi, you're on the air.
I want to notify you that the Four Town Fair is on Egypt Road in Summers, and it's this coming weekend.
On Egypt Road in Summers, and it's this weekend.
Yes, it is, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, do you have the hours by any chance?
Yes, if you... It is... Friday from 4 to 11 p.m., and Saturday from 9 to 11, and Sunday again from 9 to 11.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now. There you have it, the Four Town Fair in Summers this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about any subject today, but I listen to this program almost every day because I have that time off. I just want to compliment you on the patience that you show with a lot of these people. And also the knowledge that you have in regards to the subjects that come up. I'm pretty sure that if you had been a judge in the gypsy case, you'd have done a heck of a lot better than the judge that tried that case.
Gee, I'm looking for an agent. Are you available?
No, you know, it's true. I listen, and it's remarkable how you come up with all the all the knowledge that you have in almost any given subject.
Well, aren't you kind?
I'm going to keep on listening to it anyway.
Okay.
So keep it up.
Okay, sir. Thank you. 527-4188, Enterprise 9842. The number is for Mike Line. Connecticut, they're giving you one more chance. An evening with Frank Sinatra in Hartford is all sold out. But you can still see him Thursday, October 14th, 8 p.m. at New Haven's Veterans Memorial Coliseum. What a lucky break. You wanted to see him in Hartford, right? And now the second chance in New Haven. Believe me, things like this don't happen often. Get your tickets now at the New Haven Coliseum box office and all New Haven Ticketron outlets for Sinatra. And remember, one performance only, Thursday, October 14th, 8 p.m. Somebody must really love you. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Yes, I'm from Southerton, and I'm quite upset about this, Jeff Telesco. This is trying to get something off your mind, is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
All righty, I'm just trying to figure out, and I've been calling quite a few of the local politicians and state politicians and so forth, why a man could be disbarred, not work, and still collect.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, sir. I believe that the statutes that govern that have been studied by the Attorney General, Carlo Gello, and this is the manner in which he has interpreted the statutes. So, in a word, he apparently is operating inside the law in declaring that Judge Tedesco will continue to receive his salary. And I believe he said, unless he should be removed by the legislature. I think I'm correct in that. Now, I don't know if that explains anything more for you.
No, it don't explain it, but, you know, they, especially the election year, have a lot of faith in your government and equal treatment. This is bull. If I'd done that to my employer, I would be out. No money.
All right, Judge Tedesco does have the right of appeal, and I believe both he and his attorneys have indicated that the finding will be appealed.
Well, I go along with this. To a point, I go along with this, that he should be suspended and not receive his wages, and if his appeal is upheld, he should be reimbursed, retroactive. I think that's normal in most cases.
All right, I dare say a number of people would find your opinion reasonable. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
527-4188, Enterprise 9842. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, friend.
Hi there.
How are you and the family?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I have a question. You know, the Big E is on now.
Right.
And next Tuesday and Wednesday, the 21st and 22nd, I read that the Mounted Police Canadian are going to be up there. Now, does anybody or you or the newsroom happen to know the time that they will be on show?
Okay, I had not heard that they were going to be there.
Yeah,
though that doesn't.
In a magazine, I think it's a Vista travel magazine that we get, and I hadn't seen it anywhere else. But my husband read it the other night, and I imagine it would be very colorful. They're supposed to be honoring, helping us honor our bicentennial.
I see.
And it will be at the Coliseum. But, I just love the Mounties.
Okay, so you're wondering what specific hours?
Yeah, I was wondering what hours that the show would go on, because I don't want to go up and hang around all day and all night. You know?
Okay, I'm going to make a bet now, and that is that someone in the audience has the specifics on it and will call in.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Okay.
And otherwise than that, I have to make a long-distance call, so I thought, well, somebody might supply it.
Okay, we'll save your nickel, we hope.
More than that, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you cook spaghetti and it comes out too soft and mushy, you may think your timing's wrong. Could be, but it's also possible your spaghetti is wrong. Because if the spaghetti a company makes one day isn't exactly the same as another day, you're going to have problems, even if you follow the instructions on the box. What can you do? You can try Ronzoni. Because Ronzoni has a unique method for making sure all the spaghetti they make is uniform. They call it Ronzoni Control. And instead of just using machines, they also use people. People named Ronzoni. Because even though machines can do things people can't, nobody has invented a machine that eats spaghetti. So the Ronzonis constantly oversee their spaghetti to make sure nothing changes. This personal concern may seem outdated in our mechanized society, but don't forget that the Ronzonis eat their spaghetti too. So if you want spaghetti that's perfect every time, look for the only brand made with Ronzoni control, an Italian family's answer to automation.
The next time you cook spaghetti, wouldn't it be nicer to know there's a Ronzoni watching the pot? 20 before 3, the time, we have an open line on Mike Line this afternoon, 527-4188, Enterprise 9842. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, John. This is Wyman speaking from Southington.
Yes.
I have a question to ask, and I imagine many of your listeners must have the same problem. Every once in a while, the radio goes dead. The line goes off, and then it comes back on again.
Okay, for how long a period of time are you...
I should say for at least a couple of seconds.
Oh.
Well, now, last night I was listening to the ball game. And during the ball game, it happened.
At what time, do you recall?
Oh, it was in the evening, around 9:30. But it's happened while I've listened to you on telephone, on radio.
Is that so?
Yeah, when you're on the line...
Okay, staff, talking, what's the story?
And all of a sudden it goes off. And then it comes back again.
Okay, I'm looking for some words of wisdom or signs of wisdom from our engineering staff.
Yeah, I understand that. But the idea is, why does it happen on other stations, I mean on other radio programs?
Why does it not happen?
Yeah, why does it happen?
Oh, if I were to be self-serving, I would say it does happen, but it happens at the same time you're listening to WTIC, so you never hear it on the other stations.
Yeah, well, that's the other station I ever listen to. I have my radio set for TIC, and I never listen to anything else. And I get so disappointed, especially when the ball game is on. And they're giving the name of the players, or they're giving the score, and all of a sudden it goes off. And then it comes back again.
Okay, I asked you the specific time because there is a time during the evening, I think right now it's about 8:30, that our antenna pattern has to be switched, and that takes, on the order of 3 or 4 seconds to do,
yeah.
And there is a brief outage for that period of time. That might be it, but that would occur only twice a day, in the morning and in the evening.
Maybe I happen to be on the leading at the time. It could be that I was listening at the time.
Okay, well...
I'm sorry to have disturbed you.
You didn't disturb me a bit.
Since you moved in the new building, this has happened. It didn't happen before.
Okay, well, I can't offer an explanation, not being a technician.
You know, naturally.
But I can suggest that possibly...
I'd ask you if anybody else had asked you the question before.
Well, not in some time, but that's quite all right that you raised it.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate it, and I appreciate your program. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you very much for calling. And
I'm sort of a shut-in myself.
Glad you're taking advantage of the Enterprise line.
And believe me, I enjoy it very much.
Okay, thanks again for calling.
Thanks for talking.
Righto.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Hi. I'd like to take issue with Madison Avenue today.
Okay.
I think that the American people are simpletons. A man in athletics, say, goes along at an ordinary pace and just is another athlete, and suddenly he becomes champion, and this particular food or this particular product or car is the greatest car ever because now he's driving it, whereas when he wasn't the champion, we didn't even hear about it. What do they think the American people are that because a certain man, when he becomes notorious on account of his athletic prowess, we should buy the car that he thinks is the best, and for that reason, perhaps that reason only.
Okay, it's not a new argument, certainly. On the other hand, look what happens when somebody is trying to sell you dishwasher detergent. Madison Avenue seems to have gone through a period of stereotyping the housewife, and they get women on there who have been prompted to act kind of stupid.
Well,
right?
We can see it's an artificial stupidity.
It doesn't always seem that way.
Oh, to me it does. I can see it's a put-on. They take a cloth or a rag and rip it in half before they offer them $25 for it. We're going to give you $25 for this shirt. Okay with you? Oh, yes, fine, thanks.
Yeah, my wife would probably say, beat it before I call a cop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've seen this more than once.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say it's artificial stupidity.
Artificial
stupidity. If you had seen it once and only once, then you'd say, okay, they used it. But there, I'm sure there are many times that it didn't work out to their advantage or the way they wanted it, and you have never seen it.
Okay, let's look at this from at least one positive angle, however. Athletes, for example, who do commercials also donate their services for public service announcements, and I'm sure those announcements get more attention than if Joe Doakes were making the announcement. You tend to listen a little bit more if the guy comes on and says, "Hi, I'm Carl Yastrzemski, and keep matches out of the reach of your kids."
Yes, all right, that kind of thing, but that isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that makes money.
Well, the whole idea of the commercial is to sell
the
product.
So I think they could make more money by saying, "I'm Mrs. Smith. You've never seen me before. You'll never see me again. And I have been asked by the sponsor of this product to tell what I know about it. I have used it, and I have found it to be the better of any similar product that I have ever used before. And I think it would be to your advantage to use the same product."
Okay.
It would be more meaningful, that type of woman advertising, than somebody who's a tennis star who has done well in tennis, and she says, I wash my clothes in such and such a, with such and such a product.
And she probably doesn't.
Most likely she doesn't.
Okay, but the approach that you suggest is not one that has been ignored.
I've never heard any issue taken with it or about it, except in other talk.
All right, let me give you an example of one of our clients whose commercials are done in that way, and they are absolutely genuine, and that happens to be Copaco. And you've heard Bill Hennessy interviewing people at Copaco in Bloomfield.
I live near Copaco, and I think it's everything they say it is.
Okay, there you are. And this is just what the people on those commercials are saying, and it is, I think, quite obviously unrehearsed.
No doubt about it, but I am also sure that he has stopped many people, and they say they don't want any part of it.
Oh, sure.
And that you never hear on the air. Now, not because they're going to say something bad, but because they're mic shy, perhaps.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, I think you're making some good points. Glad to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now you can get what everybody wants, something for nothing. And when I say something, I don't mean anything. I mean a free can of Snowcrop frozen concentrated orange juice. It's got real bits of pulp like fresh squeezed orange juice, and it tastes like fresh squeezed orange juice, too. You see, it's all part of a plan to wake you up to the great taste of Snowcrop. And in this case, a free offer should wake you up. To get your free can, send a postcard with your name and address to Snowcrop, in care of WTIC, One Financial Plaza, Hartford, Connecticut, 06103. We'll send you a coupon good for one free 6-ounce can. But before we do, there's something else you should know about Snowcrop. It's 100% pure orange juice with no additives or preservatives. So send your postcard to Snowcrop, in care of WTIC, One Financial Plaza, Hartford, Connecticut, 06103, and we'll send you that coupon good for your free can. Please, only one coupon per household. Offer expires October 8th, 1976. When somebody gives you something for nothing, that's pretty good. But when that something tastes as great as Snowcrop frozen concentrated orange juice, that's something. Wake up to the great taste of Snowcrop. We cannot accept postcards postmarked after October 8, 1976. It's 11 before 3. This is Mike Lyon on WTIC with an open line today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Stevens.
Hi.
With the debates between Governor Carter and the President, do you know which one is going to pertain to unemployment?
I do not know. The only thing I do know, boy, this is minimal, is that they begin on the 23rd of this month. Pardon me. Perhaps there is, oh boy, perhaps there is someone in the audience who does have the specifics on it and will call in.
I'd really like to hear what they have to say about that problem.
Okay, on the subject of debates, did you see any or all of the 1960 debates on ETV last night?
No, I didn't.
It was kind of interesting to see those between Kennedy and Nixon. And then there was a commentary following by, a number of persons, Santa Van Oker for one, Peter Lisagor, and that's all I can remember because it was getting kind of late. Okay, maybe we'll get some of the specific information on the upcoming debates.
Hope hope you have a better season next year.
Thank you. We need all the help we can get. Right. Thanks for your call.
At Bradley's, you buy what Mrs. B buys.
Hi, it's Mrs. B again. Right now, it's Carnival Week at Bradley's with savings in every department.
Hello, Mrs. B.
Well, Bobby Loomis, my old paperboy, how are you?
Great. I'm going out on my first date tonight.
And you want everything to be just right.
Right.
Well, we have Right Guard deodorant. A 7-ounce can is just 79 cents.
I could use some.
We have Listerine mouthwash in the 32-ounce size, just $1.19.
You think I'll need it?
Here, Bobby, take two bottles.
Oh, it's a candlelight dinner.
Well, these Scripto disposable butane lighters are only 69 cents. That's what Bradley's semi-annual Carnival Week is all about, saving people money and the things they need most.
What should I get for my date, Mrs. B?
How about some Tylenol, Bob? 100-count size for 79 cents. Just in case she gets a headache.
And nobody can buy like Mrs. B.
Bradley's store-wide carnival sale ends Saturday night, 9 before 3. Mike Line with an open line at 527-4188, Enterprise 9842. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Stevens, the compliment that man gave you before was well-deserved.
Thank you very much.
I want to comment on this fuss about Judge Tedesco from New Haven signing illegal papers. Papers like that have been signed for years. They crucified him as though he committed a murder. Perhaps if he would have, he would have had a short trial and set free. That's my theory on Judge Tedesco.
Okay, apparently, quite obviously, the last page hasn't been written because an appeal, I understand, is in the process. So we shall see what we shall see.
Will he be reinstated?
That I don't know. I think that is up in the air at this point.
I feel as though he was dealt with wrong.
Well, we'll see what the appeal process determines, okay?
Yes.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Yeah, this morning Dick Patel was talking, I believe, to a policeman about locks for houses.
Oh, that would have been Richard Ivey.
Yeah, well, the thing is, these locks that they're talking about are these locks that can be opened by anybody from the inside without keys. Because Sunday I read an article in one of the papers that said that some locks require on the doors and the windows require keys. The key is kept near the front door. And if a family or a person is caught in the house, another part of the house can't get the key, then they are so locked in that they're apt to be burned to death.
Yes, in other words, the key must be used in order to get out as well as to get in.
Yeah, so what kind of locks are these that the policeman was talking about?
Oh, dear, I wouldn't attempt to comment on that. Detective Ivey has been on this program, and we discussed some of these things, and the discussion did deal with a number of kinds of locks, so I wouldn't try at this point to say what he was talking about specifically with Dick this morning.
No, because another thing they said was that landlords are required to put, locks on the apartment doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just figured if they're so locked in, and there's a fire, would this give the tenants another reason to sue because they're locked in and couldn't get out?
An interesting question. Perhaps we'll get a comment on it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
American Hardware, headquarters for fall do-it-yourselfers, scores again with a big $13.19 saving on Mr. Coffee, as introduced by Joe DiMaggio. It's the deluxe automatic coffee brewing system, superbly engineered and exclusively designed to brew the ultimate in coffee. You get 1 to 10 cups of rich, full-bodied quality coffee faster than any coffee maker, and you can save 29%. Right now, Mr. Coffee is sale priced at just $31.76 at participating American Hardware stores and home centers. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
Good afternoon, John.
Hi there.
I would like to concur with the lady who called a few minutes ago about having a problem with the radio, quote, cutting off.
Okay.
In the evenings. Now,
okay.
We've had
hold on just a second. I'm going to get a couple of engineers to perk up their ears here and listen carefully to what you say.
All right.
Okay.
Now, this happens with a little battery-operated radio or the one that's plugged in, so it hasn't anything to do with the electricity.
Okay.
And we could be listening to a ball game or to some other program, and all of a sudden it's just as though the whole station completely cut out, as though you were going to do one of the emergency broadcast tests.
Okay. Can you give me a specific time, or does it occur not at a specific time?
I would say it occurs between 8 and midnight.
Between 8 and midnight. How about 8:30?
Well, yes, it might be then, but we've noticed it a number of times. It'll happen 4 or 5 times in an evening.
Okay, that anticipated my next question.
And it's very frustrating. And sometimes I think that it may have something to do with a commercial coming on, and there may be a lapse between the broadcasting and the commercial, but then that doesn't seem to account for some of the times either.
All right, you seem to have covered most bases, because I was going to suggest that there would possibly be a momentary lapse.
Yes.
when, for example, we cut away from the Red Sox network to do
right.
a commercial locally.
This may account for some of it, because I'm a Red Sox fan, so of course I have it on an awful lot. But just the same, I do feel that we've had it other times also when the games are not on.
Okay, well, you've fed more information into the fact mill here. We'll see if our engineers come up with anything.
Very good. May I add something else? I want to thank you for your very deft handling of all of us on the air, the ignorant, the opinionated, the rude, and those in between.
I have been accused of being all of those, you know.
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, I know that, and I'm grateful for your compliment, but at the same time, I have been accused of being all those things you describe and some others, too.
No, we don't think you are. We enjoy you very much, John.
Okay, thank you very much for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Boston Pops, under the direction of Maestro Arthur Fiedler, returns to the Springfield Civic Center Sunday evening, September 26th. The Pops and Dr. Fiedler will entertain you as they have millions for nearly half a century. Enjoy and celebrate the evening in pop style. In addition to the Pops, will be special guests Ferrante and Teicher, the piano duo best known for their theme songs in the motion picture industry. Music like the theme from The Sting, The Apartment, Midnight Cowboy, and the theme song from Exodus. Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops with Ferrante and Teicher is a unique combination of talent all in one evening. One performance only, September 26th at the Springfield Civic Center. Tickets now on sale at the Civic Center box office and all Ticketron locations. A musical experience you won't want to miss.
Tickets also at G Fox Stores and Belmont Records.
All across America, it happens everywhere.
Taste it and see why it's America's favorite.
A couple of minutes remaining on Mike Lyons' open line. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
Person to call in before about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Oh, yes.
September 22nd at the Big E is Connecticut Day, and they will be appearing at 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
4 o'clock on Wednesday.
4 p.m.
On a week from today, right?
That's right, because if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that the Hartford Courant had a schedule from the first day when the Big E opened right up until the end.
Okay, do you recall what day that was in the paper?
The offhand, I can't tell you, sir.
Okay, well, maybe somebody is...
Connecticut Day is the 22nd, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police will be on the 4 p.m.
Okay, 4 o'clock next Wednesday, the 22nd.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Connecticut Day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, you're on Mike Line.
There's a question I've been wanting to ask for years, and I have never quite got up the nerve to ask it. Why is it that your very astute announcers would never consider mispronouncing an athlete's name, and yet on FM particularly, composers, performers, people who have been well-established, some of them have been in the standard repertoire for years, if not centuries, have their names mispronounced.
Okay, I'm sure that the statement is well-founded, and I could go into that if we had the time, and I don't.
But well, sometime I'd love to have an answer.
Okay, well, I'll try it the next time. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us on Mike Line on WTIC Hartford.